have any questions about the health plan, Medicaid, check, applying, renewing, or any of the initiatives that we reach out to your area for, I'm here for to answer your questions.
Thank you.
Kathy Farrow, County Extension Agent, we link community health. I work all over San Pat County. We teach a lot of nutrition, wellness, educational, informal programs to parents and youth as well. So we make the whole county throughout. So haven't been back up in a while, but
thank you, Ms. Kathy.
Abigail Gonzalez, I'm the elementary and intermediate counselor.
Brianna Garcia, I'm the elementary and intermediate assistant principal.
Dr. Lidamari Degas, I'm the intermediate principal.
Okay. Crystal Juarez, I work with the San Pat County Health Department, and I'm health educator.
I'm Christina Yee, I'm with the Pregnancy Center of the Coastal Bend, and I'm the youth education coordinator.
I'm Jason Pfluger, I'm the behavior coordinator at the junior high.
I'm Adisela Tortorello. I'm the junior high school nurse.
Marissa Mendez, the elementary nurse.
I'm Lisa Bettis. I'm the intermediate nurse, district nurse. Well, welcome everybody. Thanks for coming. Our mission is to implement a coordinated school health program to prevent obesity, cardiovascular disease, and type 2 diabetes in students through a combined effort of the school district and the community. Next, I'd like to go ahead and have everybody read over the minutes from our last meeting. Our last meeting was on March 21st of last year. Just take a few minutes to go through those.
I motion to approve the minutes.
Thank you. All right. Next, we have Ms. Christina Yee. She'll discuss the Esteem Health curriculum.
Thanks, guys, for letting me present today. Would anybody like to look at some of the workbooks while we're talking about it for a few minutes?
Sure.
Okay, who's at the high school?
They're not here yet.
This is high school. Fifth grade?
Junior, seven. That would be all right there.
Six, seven.
Yeah.
Seven, okay. It's very similar.
So it's very
curriculum. It's very age appropriate. Okay. Very, yeah. It's exactly what the TEKS is asking for each grade. Yeah. So. So I was looking through the website yesterday for your school district, and I saw the only information I could find from last year was a great body shop.
Yes.
From K through 8, is that the health curriculum
yes.
that you're using mm-hmm. now? What are are there any supplemental programs that you're using to cover topics that that's not covering, or does that cover?
That covers everything.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so our program is designed for 5th through 12th grade, and so that would be the high school component as well. We know that, you know, throughout with all of the research, school districts are under a great deal of pressure, right, to maintain compliance and meet all the requirements that with the updated TEKS and all the health bills and Senate bills and all of that. And so we want to come alongside and help with some of that, because it's kind of catch up for a lot of the school districts. I brought a compliance sheet just for reference if anybody wants to take a look at that. That actually talks about the SHAC, but it also talks about human sexuality education and some of the sensitive topics that we're gonna be talking about, and all of the sort of a checklist of everything that we need to do. I need to come and present twice to a public meeting. You guys need to get it approved through the school board. And then, of course, we would do opt-in forms and things like that for the parents. Let me back up a little bit, though. So what I wanted to tell the SHACs, so as I've been learning more about the SHACs' role in the district, is you have great power, right? Nothing goes past the SHAC. Right? Everything needs to be approved through the SHAC. So, you know, you represent the local community's values, and I know that you're paying close attention to what's getting implemented and adopted into the schools. So I just want you to be empowered, I guess, to make those decisions. Our pregnancy center, the Pregnancy Center of the Coastal Bend, we have 5 locations all across Corpus Christi, Rockport, Portland. I don't know which one's the closest to you guys. And
which one is it?
Cal Allen, is that the closest one? Okay, yeah. So our 5 Points location. So our pregnancy center wants to provide a primary prevention health curriculum to local schools, because we are seeing younger and younger students come through our clinic in crisis. We saw many 14 and 15 year olds last week. It was just like a big group of 14 and 15 year olds. And so, and they're in all of our local districts, right? And so we want to make sure that the education is reaching them before they get to our clinic in crisis. And so our goal is to provide free health education to local school districts. So this curriculum that we're offering to you will be completely free to your school, because there is a Title V grant for abstinence-based education. This is a sexual risk avoidance education. It comes from that sort of point of view, but it's a total health curriculum. And it's about risk avoidance, optimal health, primary prevention, the kind of thing that Texas is trying to implement. And so, so that's kind of where we're coming from as a pregnancy center. A lot of the health education is coming through pregnancy centers these days, because we already have that community connection. We already have resources that we are connected with. We already have free parenting, free ultrasounds, free STI and STD testing, all of those things. We are already aware of abuse prevention and, you know, the trafficking and everything that's happening in the area. And so it's kind of a natural fit to come in and do some of that education in the schools. So so we want to provide that for free. And there is a Title V grant that this particular curriculum is already approved to receive that grant funding. And so, and that is in effect for 5 years. And so you can just utilize that by writing up an MOU. It's quite simple. So if you're looking at some of the student workbooks, or if you want one, there's a couple right there. You'll see that there are 2 workbooks for each grade level, and it totals 14 lessons. The first 9 are non-sensitive. So it's about nutrition, and body systems and things like that, your usual non-sensitive topics for health. But workbook B is a sensitive topic. So we're talking about grooming and abuse and porn and there's a younger audience right here, but I'll just suffer. And so so some of those sensitive topics are being discussed in the second workbook. So our, I guess, ideal model would be that we would partner with schools and we would train school personnel to implement the first 9 lessons, and we would just coach you to say, here's the curriculum, use this curriculum, and through coaches, nurses, counselors, and teachers to do these non-sensitive topics that probably everyone's familiar with and comfortable with, and we'll come in as a pregnancy center as certified educators and teach the last 5. Or nurses and counselors can do that as well. It's really up to the school. So it's very, very customizable. And once again, it goes from 5th through 12th grade. What's really cool is this was developed in Texas, so it is it maintains all of the compliance and meets all the requirements for Texas. So all the TEKS, all the TEA stuff, everything is covered. It's medically accurate, it's research-based, and it's non-faith-based, so it is appropriate for public schools. One component that I really like about this curriculum, so I researched quite a few curricula, and what I liked about this one is there's such a strong focus on parental involvement. So parents are able to access resources online. In the leader kit, there are parent, student, like conversation starter type resources, and there's quizzes, and parents can see everything that the student sees. So they can go online and see it. They can grab a student book if they want to and have their own copy so they can see what the students are going through. And we always do a parent preview night before we implement any of our program. So there's always a parent preview night, and then there's always a staff training. Whether or not we do all the training, or you do all the training, or we cut it in half, however that works. One fun thing that our pregnancy center is using in the local school districts is during the fetal development unit, we're gonna be bringing in our mobile unit and doing live ultrasounds, just so the kids can see, what does a baby look like at 6 weeks? That kind of thing. So, I did want to ask, so you're using the Great Body Shop from K through 8. Is health a requirement for graduation in high
school? No, it's not.
Okay, and that's most school districts. I'm just curious about that. So that's just kind of an overview of our program. I'm leaving a couple of flyers, one in English and one in Spanish, and my business card, and also a compliance chart just for your reference if you would like. Do you guys have any questions for me? I ran through it very fast.
So it's a 5-year program, you're saying, or the grant's just 5 years?
Oh, so the grant, you don't have to renew every year because it's just an MOU. Mm-hmm. It's not really an application so much as we're utilizing the HHS grant. So the director of Esteem, actually, she can get on a phone call with you and walk you through it. It's quite a simple mm-hmm. process. Yeah, just an MOU.
But it's for 5 years, you're saying?
The funding is already, guaranteed for
5 years. Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
Actually know the details, yeah.
And we don't have to pay for any of it?
None of it. So the training will be free, the parent preview will be free, all the student books will be free, everything will be free. Yeah. Some school districts are even using, their ACE 21st Century grant money mm-hmm. to provide, food for parent nights and things like that. That's above and beyond. But it should be at no cost to your school district.
Okay. And if the high school doesn't want to utilize, could we still do 5th through 8th?
You can do any piece of it that you like. Yep. Totally customizable. You can say, I just want lesson 8 for 7th grade. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So it covers everything. Suicide prevention. It covers mental. It covers covers
that's very
everything.
I mean, you could literally go through here and pick three chapters and have that.
Very thorough, yeah.
Okay.
So just, it's 100% meeting all of the teams.
That's what I was going
to
ask.
So you don't have to worry, like, if we use this curriculum, what else do we need to supplement?
So nutrition's covered,
everything's
covered.
Everything's covered, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So, STDs.
Anybody else have any questions? Okay.
So I'll leave those there, but I'm going to go ahead and grab the workbooks.
Okay.
Yeah, but you guys are welcome to, if you go to the Esteem website, you can also glance at those, at the workbooks. And if you would like a password to see all of it, like
okay.
page by page, then my director can send you a password just for your district.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have that written down somewhere?
That you'd have to, like, contact me
okay.
for, and I can get
sure.
you a password. Yeah. It would have to be, like, directly with her.
All right, well,
but
thank
you. Contact me. I left my business card if you have any other questions, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. Next, we're going to go ahead and cover reports from each of our committee. Nutrition, usually Kathy Farrell will discuss like any programs that are available
okay,
to the districts.
So, we just dropped the newsletters off today. We're just still doing that this year. Also, we've seen some pretty remarkable success with some of our programs called like Cooking Well with Type 2 Diabetes or Cooking Well with for High Blood Pressure, where it's implemented for the teachers during the lunch hour. Like, I don't know, you know, it rotates, so we might. You know, we might be on site for 2 hours in the lounge or something. And we would be doing a food demo, a little, some hands-on, and then talking about nutrition, healthy eating, or either diabetes as it relates to chronic disease. And mainly is for prevention as well as for maintenance, too, because we know we have, you know, quite a few that have type 2 diabetes
okay.
and heart issues. So we've got that going on right now. We will have our parenting conference in the spring. Just like we do every year where the parents go to that. We also have the school activity program, so any kind of program you'll need as it relates for the students or the teachers or your parents. So we do have that available. Just call, you know, give me a shout, give me a call, send me an email if you have specific questions, you want to do something with your parents or your students, let us know. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next will be physical education. Renee Ortha, the intermediate and elementary teacher, PE teacher, cannot be here. She said they're working on basketball skills right now in PE and working on ball handling. That's what they're doing at that campus. Turkey trot's coming up tomorrow as well. Health services. We finished all our staff training for bloodborne pathogens, stop the bleed, anaphylaxis. We just finished up all our vision and hearing for all the campuses, and we're getting ready to start our scoliosis screening. So those will start for me next week, and then for Adi in December, beginning of December. Health education, we use the Great Body Shop from kinder through eighth grade. And counselors, Abby had to leave.
She left notes.
Okay.
So right now, Project Turnaround is finishing up for the fall semester at intermediate. Then we'll begin in the spring semester at elementary. She has been promoting kindness. World Kindness Day was November 13th, so she rolled out some activities with the staff. She has down here that Dr. Gomez is now available. It goes through the students' parents' insurance, and so there's that being made available to students. And then also the Beacon of Hope counseling services, and so students can sign up also for this, and I believe that's what Dr. Gomez's is called. And then she has the Coastal Plains and the BHS services.
And I kind of talked to her earlier about that. She said Dr. Gomez can come on site, and then Coastal Plains parents would have to take the kids
yes.
over. to receive services.
They just also have the family bingo nights where they reviewed the parent contacts also. That okay. was last night. Okay, last night.
Bingo. So that was on the 13th?
It was on Tuesday.
On November 12th. Okay. Awesome. All right.
For us, we're also promoting the kindness. The Project Turnaround is finishing for us because of the half days and days off. So they won't be finishing with us until December 6th. And that is the small groups as well. So they'll all be wrapping up together. We are doing kindness shout outs. Anytime we're observing some of the students doing showing kindness to each other, we're doing those over the announcements. One thing that we have been utilizing again more frequently is the BCFS program. They have been very good about the turnaround time in reaching out to parents and getting that set up. So,
and that's for counseling? Or?
Yeah, well it's academic support, mental health support, you know, whatever it is that the families need.
Okay.
And so basically I send the referral in, they contact the parents, and then the parents, you know, follow up and do the rest of it with them. And they can meet with them here at school, or they can meet with them outside the school that's completely free to the families. And they come to them.
Okay.
They awesome. Don't have to take the kids to Corpus.
Okay. Awesome.
So we've referred them. And they've been very good about following up.
About following up, because I know that was kind of a problem before.
Well, and I wasn't super familiar with the process last year, so at the beginning of this year I met with you know, the lady who was coordinating it, and so we just kind of talked out the whole process, and she's the one that I emailed directly and send the referrals in, and she gets back with me to follow up.
Okay, awesome.
So we've got a pretty good system in place now.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you, Belinda. Family and community involvement. Y'all spoke a little bit about the parent conference and then the family bingo night that was on November 12th. Are there any other, and the turkey trot, anything else? Family and community
Pies
involvement?
With parents.
Oh, that's right. Ties with parents. Yes. And when is that going to be?
For us, it's the 18th, the 19th, and the 21st. And then elementary, I think it's all the days except mm-hmm. Wednesday. They have 4 grade levels.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's Monday through Thursday?
Yeah.
Monday through Friday.
Monday through Friday. Okay. Okay, awesome. Thank you. Number 6, the next thing I want to discuss is Ms. Carr had approached me about seeing a lot of our students with energy drinks, like carrying around the Prime drinks and the other energy drinks. And she wanted to know if we could possibly put it in our wellness policy that they're not allowed. So I don't know how that works legally with students bringing them in from home. I don't know if we can tell parents that they can't bring them to school. Anybody know?
It is caffeinated, carbonated. Then what you do is you tell them, like I know that's what we do at the junior high. We tell them you're not supposed to have, like say it's a Dr. Pepper, you're not supposed to bring sodas to school.
Mm-hmm.
You can have, it can't be both carbonated and caffeinated.
But if it's not carbonated, then they can?
Mm-hmm.
So here's...
Like a Gatorade version.
Right.
And so it says Prime, but if it's the Prime with the caffeine,
right.
we tell them no.
Right.
Okay, well, in our wellness policy, they're not, like elementary and intermediate's not supposed to have, like, the caffeinated drinks at elementary and intermediate, but at junior high and high school they can have caffeinated. So I did some research, and the Academy of Pediatrics, they recommend for adolescents that they have less than 100 milligrams of caffeine a day. Well, those energy drinks, and I gave kind of everybody a copy of like how much caffeine is in those energy drinks, and so we're not giving. Like the cafeteria doesn't give anything with caffeine in it. I know at high school they have a vending machine that they can buy sodas. And sodas are still only like 60, maybe 80 milligrams of caffeine. So that still falls within underneath the 100 milligrams. Not that it's the best, but you know, it still falls within healthy guidelines. And then the school themselves, they serve tea. Like at junior high and high school, they get tea. And again, that's less than 100 milligrams of caffeine per 16 ounces. And so that's still falling under those guidelines. But we don't have it specified in our wellness policy. So do we want to add that to our wellness policy?
We don't have a problem in junior high with it.
No.
It must be a high school issue.
Yeah, it's not in the Epic Arts.
So, but are they carrying the Prime with the caffeine that's got however many? No? Nothing like that? No caffeine? No energy? Okay, good.
And they're pretty good. Like, if we do see a student with a soda, like today I had a kid with a soda, and I told him, you're not supposed to have that. Don't bring any more. Like, it won't be a problem for a while. But it's like every so often, like, parents also bring students' lunches.
Yes.
And they come
to
three.
That's when we'll see
a soda. So that's the thing, though.
We don't check their fountain.
Like, I don't know that we can, I don't know that we can even say that they can't have that. But we can't sell it to them, is the thing. Right. That's what's in our policy, that we can't sell it. But we don't have anything about selling energy drinks. And I don't know if they do at the high school. I know they have a vending machine at the high school. But I don't know
if. At the concession stand at the
football game? I don't think so.
Just sodas, right?
So I don't know if she had maybe seen it a lot at the high school or not. She didn't specify what campus. She just said, is there any way that we can put in the wellness policy that they're not allowed? And I don't know that we can say they're not allowed for parents to provide them. But I know that we can say that they're not allowed to be sold at school. Like that, I do know. So we can add that into our policy about selling. And I guess we would have to find out, like, can we say that parents can't buy that for students and carry it on school grounds? I don't know. Have y'all heard of anything like that?
I always ask Deanne and Janie. Whenever we were having issues with, the food being brought in. And so they pulled out the wellness.
Yes, that's what I mean. In the wellness policy, it doesn't say anything about energy drinks, and we can add it to the to it, but I don't know if we can say they're not allowed, like nobody can bring them in and drink them on school grounds, you know? That's
my
thing.
Would you feel more comfortable stating it in the form of CDC guidelines?
No, and we are, and that's the other thing, like if we can't say that they can't, we can put stuff out there like on the website saying that American Academy of Pediatrics doesn't recommend whatever, and any drinks they can cause heart palpitations and dehydration and stuff like that. Because some of the kids drink it like after they've worked out or played football or whatever, and not realizing that with all that caffeine, it's causing them to be dehydrated and not necessarily helping with that.
They're super high in sugar.
Yes.
So 60-70 grams.
Those locker rooms are full of energy drinks. That's all that's in there. That's all the kids are drinking.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I don't know if that's something that, you know, we can go in there and talk to them about maybe, or if the coaches feel more comfortable with them talking to the kids about that.
I don't know if you do make like a local policy, they're not allowed on campus, I don't know.
Well, I don't know, I don't know about legally if we can say you can't bring that,
I don't think it would be necessarily us, it would have to be like from higher to be able to put that like in a local policy thing.
Local policy, yeah. Probably we have to be approved by the school.
Right.
Maybe she wants it to start here.
Maybe so. Yeah, that's what we're. Yes, that's what she wanted us to discuss it and see if that's something that we want to do.
I mean, I think it's something we should.
We do see some kids with palpitations, anxiety, and then we talk to them and, what did you drink today? And I had, not this year, but in the previous years we have. Like
they don't understand what it.
Right. Right. And then we have some kids who already have anxiety, and then they're drinking these drinks, and it's like causing even more anxiety because, it's got some, yes.
Did you say that there's a soda machine?
Well, I know they have a soda machine. Janie was saying that sells sodas, though, just regular, like, diet sodas, because it can't have so much sugar or whatever. So, I don't know, not in the cafeteria.
Just in the
I don't think it's
I
in the.
I remember them having one. I don't know if it's still there.
Me neither. That's what I'm saying. I don't know for sure. I know Janie mentioned that they had one that the students can use, but not necessarily. She didn't specify that it was in the cafeteria. She just said that there was one that they were able to use. So if it's diet and the sugar, because you, what is it? The I can't remember what it's called. The United States, I don't know what it is. The people who make our regulations on what kind of...
FDA?
No, not at the FDA.
USDA?
Is it? It might be the USDA. Yes, thank you. So they say that there's not supposed to be so much sugar in the drinks, and they say that you drink milk and low-fat milk or whatever, but they don't specify caffeine. It doesn't have anything in there about how much caffeine is regulated. So it's not regulated, basically. And so they can have caffeinated beverages, but like I said, I did some research and it shouldn't be over 100 milligrams, but it doesn't state that in policy anywhere. So I don't know if that's something that we want to talk about now, and then maybe we can talk to Ms. Carr about it and say, you know, everybody was saying that yes, maybe we do want to put that in our wellness policy. I don't know.
There are two vending machines at the high school, and they're all diet sodas, mm-hmm. Diet Sprite, Coke, and pepper.
Yes.
Water.
Yes. So I knew that they probably was. But their diet, and so that's why they can be allowed, because they don't have they meet the sugar. But there's nothing about caffeine. But it's not good for them, and it does cause those health issues. So I don't know if that's something we want to go ahead and stipulate in our wellness policy, and then maybe even make new local policy saying that we don't want them on school grounds at all. Is everybody in agreement? All right. Well, then that's something that I can go ahead and talk to Ms. Carr and see if she wants to make that into a local wellness policy. Okay. All right. All right. So next, I'd like to talk about the health fair. What dates do y'all think would be good for our school health fair?
Anyway. We did it before spring break last time, right?
Mm-hmm. In March, and I've done it in February before. Well, February and March usually better, because around April, May, we're already getting into end of school and it gets crazy. Yeah, it gets super crazy.
And it's too soon, like, to do it before the end of the semester, right?
Oh, definitely.
Then can we try to go back to March?
Yeah, we can.
Does March work for everybody?
There's no. When do y'all do? Do y'all do testing around that time? Or? Well, no, we invite everybody. Like, if teachers want, yes, I've always
invited. Last year.
Yes. Yes, everybody's invited to come.
I've never known that I've been invited.
Yes, every year I tell them to let me know, like, if a teacher wants to bring the kids through, to let me know, and then we can put them in the different groups.
We have.
Maybe y'all missed that meeting.
Even as a teacher, I never heard that.
Mm-hmm. I've never heard that.
Yes, every year.
Maybe we can
do the shower
question.
Y'all might have missed that meeting, I'm just saying. But so if March will work, I would love for junior high kiddos to come through. I would love it. And high school too. You know? It's for the whole school district. You know? So if y'all pick like a certain teacher, to bring them through. You know? Yeah. Okay, so would March work if y'all want to do that? Will March work for y'all if we want to do that? Okay.
First week of March?
Let me look at my calendar.
Your spring break is the 10th through the 14th.
10th through the 14th, so maybe the 7th? Would that work? Y'all have no testing or anything going on? March 7th?
March
7th, okay. Everybody in agreement?
Yes.
All right, March 7th it is for the health fair.
What is the typical hours of the event?
They're usually from like 8 till 3:30 maybe. So we'll do that. And, okay, so health fair, March, and it's in the intermediate gym. Mm-hmm. So March 14th, March, what did we say? March 7th. March 7th. All right. All right. All right. Now we're going to do the Great Body Shop student and teacher issues that everybody was assigned. Who wants to start? I can start if y'all want me to start. Y'all want me to start? All right. So I had... Thread grade issue 9. So that one is about the ears and the way we hear. And so it just described different kinds of problems with your senses, how to respect people with body challenges, taught students about different disabilities. And basically that was it. I didn't really see anything that was a sensitive subject, or it was basically just the biology of how we hear and different health issues that students and challenges that they meet. And so I would say that's not an opt-in, that we're good with just everybody getting that one, okay? And then I did third grade issue 10. And this one, the students learned about the different bones in the body and the jobs that the bones do, the function of the skeleton, practicing good posture, compare and contrast different types of skeletons, different bones, talked about the joints. And that was it. And it was basically like health, just health. And so I say we don't need to opt into that either. And then the last one that I had this time was fourth grade issue 9. And it talked about, this one was more in depth about the sound that the ear, what the ear hears, and how the bones vibrate, and that's how we hear, and that was it. So it was more health as well. So I said probably that wouldn't be opt-in either.
How about next?
Okay.
All right, I had kindergarten, lesson 9, and it was keeping clean and healthy. So it talks about responsible cleaning, daily routines, consequences of uncleanliness, the benefits of cleanliness, how the family unit can help to promote cleanliness and being healthy and keeping clean. And then it talked about communities and having clean communities, being a good citizen, responsible routines, and comparing polluted communities versus unpolluted communities. So I think that one was totally fine. There was nothing crazy there. Kindergarten issue 10 was everyday play. So they talk about what play is, the importance of play, how they play, and comparing different types of play, group and individual, why it's fun, and then practicing different kinds of play, and what life is like without it. Talking about play as exercise, the benefits of being able to play, and how it supports the body, setting goals and decision making to help to promote healthiness. And then rules of safe play, being able to identify them, why they're important, conflict resolution, and consequences of no rules. And so, again, there was nothing concerning there.
Okay.
Now, my last one was the reproductive system for grade 7.
Okay, so definitely opt in.
Yeah, I didn't have access to the teacher manual on that one for whatever reason, but it did let me look at the student one.
Mm-hmm.
And that one talked about just the subtitles on that one was puberty, reproductive organs, with diagrams.
What grade was this?
Seventh grade. I think it was issue 4. Talks about fertilization, care and feeding of the embryo, growth of a baby, birth process, maturity, friendships and dating, saying no to harassment. So yeah.
Definitely opt in. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Very much.
Okay. Who wants to go next?
I'll go next. I had sixth grade, lesson 7, all about addictions. What is addiction? Classification of drugs, depressants versus stimulants. Some things are legal but not safe. The harmful side effects of vapes, harmful side effects of other drugs, how to make good decisions, how to say no. I thought it was a pretty good lesson.
Okay. So you don't feel like it has to be an opt-in?
I don't think so.
They kind of cover that in the other, right?
I was going to say, that's
right?
The project turnaround covered.
Okay,
before.
So not opt-in.
I wouldn't think.
And I think that's info everybody should be getting. I
think so, too.
And think. Okay, all right.
The lesson 8 is about infectious diseases, and then it gets into a little bit of respiratory infections, such as asthma, but then it jumps into HIV, STDs, effects of drugs on those decisions and what that could
okay.
lead to.
So is that still 6th grade?
That is still 6th grade, lesson 8.
Okay, so definitely opt in, because it talks anytime they have to opt into HIV, if we're talking about HIV, so that would definitely be opt in.
Okay, and I had eighth grade, lesson 9 was about the environment and your health, environmental issues, how to protect the environment, how environment can affect your health. I didn't see anything controversial in that.
Okay. So not opt-in. Did you say violence? I'm sorry.
How environment can affect your health.
Okay.
How to protect the environment, okay. Environmental issues.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
So I'll go next. I had fifth grade issue 7, and it talked about the use and misuse of drugs. It talked about kind of in depth, like on the stimulants, meth, crack, cocaine, ecstasy, methamphetamine, GHB, marijuana, alcohol, barbiturates, hallucinogens, it talked about like shrooms and for fifth grade, I don't know, do they talk about like that?
So that's, what do y'all think?
They're watching TV, yeah. They're already hearing it on videos, so, TikTok.
I mean, I thought it was all really good information aside from that, because it talked about substance use disorders in the family, how and why it happens, drug advertising, understanding influences, choosing to be drug-free, things that you could do to stay drug-free. It was just, listing all the drugs. I didn't know if it was too in-depth for a fifth grader or
what
thoughts were on that.
Well, on mine, I had grade level 3, and on my second issue was about drug use and the effects of drugs and the e-cigarettes. And so it touches on it in third grade.
In third grade already? Okay, so
not opt-in.
Not opt-in.
We're good for everybody getting that. Okay.
Okay, and then my next one was fifth grade issue 8. It talked about the circulatory system. It talked about the heart, how the heart beats, all the platelets, plasma, blood. But then it goes into talking about blood in your immune system. It talks about HIV and the immune system. So I guess anything. So it does say in it that while sexual contact is one way that HIV can be transmitted, it's not referenced in the student issue article. It says if your district or state standards require the inclusion of sexual contact as a means of transmission, refer to the optional section. I know that if it does include it, though, I guess.
Well, yeah, we don't use any of the optional ones, but if we're talking about HIV, we're supposed to, it's an opt-in.
Okay, so then issue 8 will be opt-in for fifth grade.
Okay.
I'll go next. First grade, issue 9, it was about breathing, your lungs, running. It was definitely not an opt-in. Lesson 10 for first grade had to do with physical exercise, running, playing fair. Also, you don't need to opt-in. And then we get to seventh grade, issue 4. That one has to do with sex. And yeah, sexual transmitted diseases. It was about like I want to say grooming, like about like
trafficking kind of.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
Stuff like that about relationships and stuff. So yeah, that
so that's definitely opt-in. Okay.
Yeah. One of most influenced.
I'm going next.
Okay.
For my first one, I had third grade, issue 7. It's all about saying no to drugs, what are drugs, what are e-cigarettes, the effects of drugs on your body. I don't think you need to opt in. The only thing that parents might say, like it talks about what happens when you take too much cold medicine.
Oh, okay.
So like a parent might say, like you're giving them ideas.
Mm-hmm. But it didn't talk about violence at all. No violence, gangs, nothing like that? Okay. Okay.
And then issue 8 is the next one. It's talking about what to do when you're sick. Things that your body needs, like rest. The only iffy thing there was it talked about like the importance of vaccines.
Okay.
Some families don't do like vaccines. That's the only
thing, but it's
definitely not an opt-in. And then my last one was, let me see. It was fine too. It's the sixth grade one. This one had to do with sports and different like ligaments and muscles and how sports and exercise affect your body.
Okay, so not opt-in. And that was sixth grade issue what?
10.
Not opt-in. Okay. I think that was,
grade 7. I had issue 7 and 8.
the first issue, I didn't see a problem until lesson three. Lessons one and two, I was talking about safety, ways to prevent injury. The example is like contact sport. If you're playing football out in cold weather, you put layers on, you wear your padding and your helmet. So I didn't see an issue with that. And then the second lesson was understanding violence. it did have factors that lead to violence. So it does talk about hate crime, abusive relationships, gang affiliation, domestic violence, sexual abuse, trafficking.
Yeah, so that's opt-in for opt-in. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what issue was that?
Issue 7 on 7th grade.
Okay.
Issue 8 was substance abuse prevention. Which lists all the effects of drug use, and it lists all of the drugs and what it does to your body and all the symptoms that it does, the long-term use and short-term use of it, and all the risk factors of internal factors of values and beliefs and how to say no, and also decision-making and drug and alcohol intervention. So then it also lists AA, Al-Anon for teens. It lists all of those ways to help you.
So that probably would not be opt-in, right? Because it's just talking about interventions, and so not opt-in. Okay. Was that everybody? Everybody? Okay. All right. Where's my agenda now? Okay. So next, we're going to do open discussion. Does anybody have anything that they want to share about their programs or?
Sure. Hi, I'm Janice Hsu, Outreach Disaster Coordinator for 211 Texas. And I brought just some brochures to share if you would like to give these out to parents or families about our state helpline. It's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, even holidays and during disasters. And we are option one, information referral. And so we connect people looking for services, variety of services that they might need help with. And we also upload our database to our 211texas.org website, where we have chat in English and Spanish, also 24 hours a day. We answer chat for resource information, and so just need a zip code when you call to see if any programs are available, for anyone in the community. And I was reading through your minutes, and I was wondering if y'all have ever used T-Chat, which is used by a lot of different school districts for mental health counseling, telecounseling.
I've heard of it.
T-Chat, yeah, a lot of the CCISD social workers, that's how I found out about it, and I sent the resource out last year when I found out about it, and GPISD uses it as well, so a lot of school districts have kind of embraced that since, I think it came out about a year and a half, 2 years ago.
We had a meeting with, I guess a rep who was, going over, you were in there with us, right, last year. But I think the concern was, and this is kind of what Abby and Roxanne and I were hearing at the counselor co-ops, was that there was a long wait time, like a turnaround time for them to come back and get with them. And so if it was somebody who needed somebody urgently, like they weren't.
That wasn't going to help them.
It wasn't going to help. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we just never really followed up with it because we had Dr. Gomez at that time. So we didn't feel the need at that time, and then, time just got away. But now that we have the BCFS and the Coastal Plains now, mm-hmm. I know Abby said that they're working with them, so, I mean, we could, but it's, you have to have, a certain, technology equipment, like a certain Chromebook or whatever.
A room to have them in.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And that's what they need
So it's like telehealth, is that what it is?
It's telehealth counseling.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And a lot of, I know three of my social work friends that work at CCISD, and then they're contracted doing the T-Chat as well. So there's a lot of licensed social workers, counselors mm-hmm. in the area that have been doing it, subcontracting. And then Coastal Plains, of course, has their crisis hotline, and they do the telehealth as well. If you're ever having any issues connecting, kind of got that sense from the notes with Coastal Plains. Linda, what's her last name? Linda is the director of children youth programs at Coastal Plains. Linda Garcia, and that's who you should reach out to, and I can give you her contact information. Her husband is the IDD director for all of Coastal Plains, Joel. I can't think of his last name. Part of COVID, so much fun, long COVID. So anyways, and they just have launched a program. I sent it out to contacts, I think 2 days ago. Outpatient substance use disorder treatment for youth. They have that as well at Coastal Plains. That's something they launched a couple months ago. They're trying to get the word out about that. Or if you're dual diagnosed mental health and substance use disorder of any type, they have an outpatient program. I don't know if it's in Alice or Kingsville. It's probably in Alice. And that person is Linda Madrigal. She's the program manager. So I am out of cars. I started my day at a homeless veteran stand down in Corpus outside. So I'm out of cards, but Lisa has my email, or I'll be happy to get your email and I can send you all this information and follow up.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I have information on Head Start programs. One of the things we're trying to encourage parents is that if they're looking for childcare instead of paying out of pocket, many parents qualify for Head Start programs, and there are many available in the Nueces area, San Patricio County area, but also to understand what Head Start actually is, that it's meant to be, before a child enters school, teaches them education, ABCs, 1, 2, 3s, even toilet training. There's so much more to it than just daycare, so to speak. But we definitely encourage parents to look at their options. Workforce Solutions works with a lot of families in the area. I'll let you pass it around.
Okay.
Sorry. And you can just tear one off. Workforce Solutions works with a lot of parents in the area who qualify for, let's say, Medicaid or CHIP, to get them vouchers to help pay the cost, or at least offset the cost of that care.
Child care in general.
In general.
So if you're enrolled minimum 30 hours or more in college, working, you can get the child care subsidy. And they notify us when they have funds and their enrollment list is open. They can always do an application anytime on their website at Workforce.
Yeah, thank you so much. And it does, the enrollment does fluctuate as people move in and out of the area. They're employed, then they're not employed. So just because enrollment is full today doesn't mean in a month there may be openings. So it's good to keep up with that.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Me too. So like I mentioned, I'm working in the health department. We have a few different grants in our community-based program department. So we were here at the end of October. We did the Red Ribbon Week with the elementary kiddos. But we are able to come out if anybody ever needs a health presentation. We can cover pretty much any health topic. We're all certified community health workers. We also have some different evidence-based programs that we can do with the children and that we can do with adults. So if anybody ever wants to do like a staff type of thing, we can do that as well. But I have my card. If anybody wants any information, I'll give that to you. I believe you get our newsletter.
Yes.
If anybody else is interested in it, we have two different kinds. We have a dated events newsletter, and that just has any type of health fairs, community fairs that are in San Patricio County. And then we have a monthly resource newsletter, so we try. This one would be a good one to include in there, but just any resource that we could find that services our county.
And do you have a list of things that we could bring to the district, like different kinds of health
like
education
kind of,
programs? Like, do y'all have a list of things that you can?
Right now, we're working on getting some together.
Okay.
I don't have like a comprehensive list, but it's just for the mental topic. We can, we'll do the research, we'll find a program, and then
Okay, awesome. The other thing I wanted to ask is the ESTEAM program, something we want to talk about at the next SHAC meeting in a month to see if we want to start utilizing that in the district, and maybe next year, or if y'all want to do that this year. The only thing is, like, we already paid for the Great Body Shop. And so this other program we wouldn't have to pay for, but I don't think we could do both. And so do we want to finish the Great Body Shop for this year for 5th through 12th, or if high school wants to do it? Yes. And then maybe next year, not do Great Body Shop for 5th through 8th, and just do this and have them, the teachers would still be teaching the other non-sensitive topics, but I've heard y'all's concerns, and y'all are saying the teachers are not comfortable teaching this. And so if that's something that y'all would want to do, we would stop Great Body Shop for 5th through 8th grade and bring this program in. And the teachers would still be teaching the non-sensitive topics, but then they would be coming in to teach the sensitive topics.
I mean, if it means that they don't have to touch those touchy topics. Because when I was doing it, it was hard for me to go into those topics too.
I understand. But I know there's been a lot of concern. I know Cindy approached me about that, and I'm listening to what y'all are saying. And so this might be a good compromise.
Free, that's even better.
What are you thinking, Lita, here at this campus?
I think so.
Like, they would still have to do it from until fourth grade. You know what I mean? But it doesn't get very sensitive at those grade levels. It doesn't start till fifth grade. Yes. And so maybe we'll talk about that at the next meeting and vote on it to see if everybody agrees, and then maybe we'll incorporate it.
Finish out the year.
Yes, we have to, because we already paid for it, and it's expensive.
We already paid for it.
Yeah. Okay, so that's something we can talk about again at the next one. I'll put it on the agenda.
Okay. For the Great Body Shop, I know you had a lot of questions about it too, Cindy. So I went through and I looked at Lisa's email again. And she said that, so in the email, it specifies that if the lesson, so it's just the lessons. So I was going through the teacher editions and I was going through it. And it has like, where is it at? What did it say on it?
It's the extra, let me see.
So they're the extras.
They're not covering, once it gets to.
Like the extension.
So some of it says optional. They don't do any of the optional.
Or the activities.
It says the portfolio. They don't do any of the portfolios. They don't do any of the worksheets. They don't do any of the, what was the other one called? The health.
So the home. My question is, it's like when they're doing these lessons. Okay, so like one issue will have four lessons.
Mm-hmm.
They're going through all four of those lessons at one time?
No, it's one a week.
One a week.
Yes, they do one a week because it's supposed to be an issue a month. And now they're doing the teacher's guides, where before they just read the pamphlet and they were done.
Right.
Now they're utilizing the teacher's guide, so now they have to do the lessons. Okay. And yes, some lessons for 7th and 8th only cover, do 3, some of them do 4
right.
lessons.
Right.
So it just depends on, the like they might, you know what I mean?
On the grade level. It's a lot to do in 50 minutes. It's a lot. And the thing is we don't always have. So we use our intervention time to do it once a week. But like tomorrow, everybody's out at 3:00. We're not doing it.
Right.
So we won't have that enrichment time.
And then there's the half days that we were on.
Which I get. I mean, we're just going to do the best we can. You know what I mean? That's all we can do. That's all we can do. And then we'll talk about it at the next meeting, whether we want to incorporate this other thing, and then maybe it will be easier. I don't know.
See, and I wonder, how do other schools do it? Like, how do other juniors?
Everybody does different things. Not everybody uses Great Body Shop. Like, when we met, when we decided, what's 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago?
Yeah.
We had, like, 3 or 4 different companies that came in to talk about their programs. Mm-hmm. And then everybody decided on this one. Mm-hmm. So every school, people do different things.
So, but I mean,
you're recording from Fridays to Mondays, and that way you get it done every week?
That's our intervention.
I know, but y'all do it every Friday in an intervention, right?
Intervention's really hard to mess with.
That's when they do the iReady. That's the only time they have to do it. I'm talking about, like, teachers don't like to give up that time.
When I get
like,
that, I mean,
they don't even like for to give it up.
They don't
to,
want to give it to me.
And she has
no,
to do.
No, I mean, I know. I get it. I get it. I don't know. I'm open to like I told you the other day. I'm open to however y'all want to do it, but it just has to be done.
Right.
You know? So
So, like, that's why I'm asking. So, like, you know, do at some junior highs, like our, you know, class, do they have health classes?
Some people have health classes, yes. Some people do have health classes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so is that how they're getting it done? Because I can't, you know.
So do we have to
some people
one health class per grade level? So that
would be, I mean that's what, you know,
people do it different ways because some people, like, say, I don't know how to describe it, but everybody does it however they can do it, however it works with their school district. Mm-hmm. You know, when we had met previously, this is how they said, our shack said that we were going to do it. But we can decide as a shack that we're going to do it differently if y'all want to do it differently, but y'all just tell me how. Mm-hmm. Since I'm not in the classroom, and really I don't really even know anything about curriculum, to be honest, y'all are the subject matter experts, so y'all tell me how y'all want to do it, but it has to be done. So however y'all want to do it, if it doesn't mess with anything, then we can do it that way. But we have to remember that there's certain things that have to be done. As long as we're doing those certain things that are done, we can do it however you want to. You know what I mean? Right. So how do y'all want to do it? Y'all want to think about it and talk about it at the next meeting? We can.
What if we have that leadership team meeting and discuss it there and see if we can come up with a different solution?
Yeah.
You know,
come back.
But just know, because I know previously,
what would be great is to do it during PE. That would be great. But the way we do it over there, you have 120 kids, or however many, probably more than that.
Everybody's gonna sit there.
And they're not gonna.
And not just that, are the athletics gonna say? Because seventh and eighth does athletics, right? Are they gonna be like, okay, we'll teach this, or are they gonna not want to give that time up?
No, they're not gonna want you.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So, no, I mean, however y'all want to do it.
Give us scoliosis time. You know what I mean? Which is mandated.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we're having to fight right now. We're like.
And I, you know, I know. I get it. And, well, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But, so y'all talk about it.
Yes.
And bring it back, and we'll talk about it at the next. I'm open to however. I mean, however y'all want to do it. You know? Just let me know how you want to do it. And then they're going to have to do it like however y'all decide that it wants to be done. Because it has to be done.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
All right.
How are y'all doing it?
We do it on Fridays during intervention time, during wind time. They give up open time. So they make the schedule. So we're a little off because, like you said, we don't know how early releases and things like that. But.
And we'll do the best we can do.
It's
you know?
Easy for us. It's an easy switch. Just pick up on Monday, and then Friday you do intervention, the Monday intervention.
See, and we only have 50 minutes. That's it.
So they have 45 minutes, too. No, 45 minutes. They do first block.
We only have 50-minute classes, so, like, that's, they can't do iReady in their classes. They have to do iReady during intervention.
In that time.
Yeah, but they have Monday. You only need 30 minutes of iReady, 30 to 45 minutes of iReady a week.
But we're doing math and reading, and they don't. The teachers are doing pull-out. The math teacher is doing pull-out, like, during their math. So the other person is doing I know, but y'all have longer class periods. We don't have longer class periods.
They're doing it during intervention.
I know.
They're doing iReady.
Welcome back.
And the pull-out during intervention.
Yes, I know.
Anybody else have anything else that they would like to talk about? We are going to end the meeting at 5:20. Thank y'all for being here.
I'm curious, what's iReady, ma'am?